not get in your way. But Lord, you are my strength. You are my power. You are all of our strength and power. I pray for that strength and power right now as we go to your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As everybody begins today to go back to their seat, and as we begin today to break open the Word of God, in reading from it the many riches it has in store for us, I would like us to do a little bit of recapping, to take a moment to recap to where it is we have been the past couple of weeks. What exactly the series on new beginnings is all about. In short, we began by discussing Jesus and what it was that Jesus came to do. And Jesus came to do many things, but most importantly, he came to make us new again, that we can have a new beginning in Jesus. He provides a new beginning, not just for us individually, but also for us as a church. And we are on the verge of this new beginning. Last week, we discussed the reality of change. Change, isn't that a fun thing? New beginning presupposes change. New beginnings presuppose change. In fact, I changed this week because Frankie convinced me to start using a different software to help prepare my messages, to help write my messages. So if today's message is bad, blame Frankie. And if it's good, Jeanette, blame him when I have to go get an iPad. So either way, it's his fault. Change is required for there to be a new beginning. There's a change in our heart. There's a change in our mind. There's a change in our spirit. Change is expected of us in the Bible. It teaches us this, that Jesus didn't die for that we would remain the same. He died so that we would be changed. And so we discussed that last week. If you want more information or you want to look at these previous sermons, we have them on our website, chogexeter.org. C-H-O-G, Exeter. We also have a place in the back corner where that light is plugged in over there where you can sign up for a CD. And Pat is just excellent at making sure that those get published and put out. But there's opportunities if you've missed one of those messages to just catch up. And now that we've recapped, I'd like to invite Miss Lay forward to do our reading today from the Gospel according to Matthew. We'll be reading from Matthew 1:11. You got some applause already, so I guess you're going to do a great job.
I've got a friend. We're going to turn to Matthew 4:1-11. I'm reading from NIV. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Thank you so much, and praise be to God for his word. This is, in fact, after all, the word of the Lord, his word, his life example. And as we dive in today, this particular text, and continue our journey exploring new beginnings that we have in Jesus Christ, I want to ask a vital question today. I want to ask a vital question this passage demands us to ask. The question is, have you ever been tempted? Have you ever been tempted? As in, by definition of temptation, have you ever had the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise, and you knew it was wrong and unwise? Have you had moments like that in your life? As Paul would describe to us in Romans 7, 15 through 20, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Have you ever been there? "Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Have you ever experienced that sin that dwells within you? "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desires to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Have you ever been tempted? I would say let's pause and ponder on that for a moment to remember a time that we have been tempted. But do we really have to pause and ponder? I can remember a time just yesterday where I was tempted, where I was tried. We don't have to search long in our memory to find a time where temptation has come. And this question, have you ever been tempted? Of course you have. If any of you have ever made a New Year's resolution and then went by the Wildfire Cafe and saw their cheesecakes, saw those cookies, saw those muffins, they were screaming, "Eat me, eat me. I know you're on a diet, but eat me." We've all experienced temptation in life. More seriously, we've experienced temptation in our spiritual life, which is the temptation we need to be very mindful of. It's not the chocolate chip muffin, the blueberry muffin. It's not the peanut butter cookie that we have to worry about tempting us. It's the things of the spirit, the things the devil comes at us with, just like he comes at Jesus. And boy, he knows the right buttons to push. He knows the right buttons to push on humanity, and he knows the right buttons to push in us. Because we need to understand something. He knows us. He knows our struggles. He knows our fears. He knows our doubts. So he knows how to play right into them. You could almost say, the deck seems stacked against us. That the devil has the winning hand. But I've seen too many Cinderella stories to think he would win. More importantly, this is not a Cinderella story. For we have God on our side. We have Jesus with us, to fight with us, to fight for us. And this passage in Matthew shows us something very, very important. Jesus wins. He will always win. And he's going to cast that devil where he belongs, and that's in hell. He's going to put him right back in his place. destroy him and all of his minions as he forms a new creation, a new beginning for the new heavens and a new earth. Of course, we've been tempted and tried in our life of faith. In fact, when there is change, there is always going to be temptation. The enemy doesn't want you to step out in a new beginning. The enemy doesn't want our church to step out in a new beginning. The enemy doesn't want us to be made new. Because you know what that means? He loses power. He loses something he stole from God. And he doesn't want that. Because he stole it for a reason. He stole it from God for a reason. And so he's trying his hardest to try us, to tempt us, so that we wouldn't be reclaimers. We wouldn't be reclaimers in the fact that we wouldn't reclaim what hell has stolen. But here's the fact and the reality. I don't know about you, but I know about me and my house. We will serve the Lord. And we are going on mission with our family of families, you, in community with Jesus. And in that scenario, Jesus tells us what happens. The gates of hell will not prevail. We will reclaim what hell has stolen here in Exeter, in Tulare County, in California, in the United States, and the rest of this world. We will start a fire here in Exeter. Not a real fire, just in case the fire department's watching. We are going to start a spiritual fire through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. Not for Church of God of Exeter's glory, but for God's glory. We may never even be mentioned by name, but if we step out, in new beginning, and we allow God to change us individually and corporately, there will be a new revival. There will be a new day, a new beginning. But change is hard, because in change there's temptation. And so often we choose to give up. So often we choose to not follow through. So often we say, well, maybe I didn't hear God right. This is too hard. Nothing in this world worth achieving is easy. And just because the road is hard, remember, it would always be worth it. I have a short video to show just how hard temptation can be to change. It'll be up there in just a moment. Poor guy just wants his socks off. And Nana just sat there and recorded him. He tries. Change is too hard, and he gives up. Be warned, if you live in a pastor's house, anything and everything you say can be used as a sermon illustration. Temptation from the enemy is a given. It is going to happen whether we like it or not. Temptation is the reality we face when we step out to do something in the name of Jesus, in ourselves and in others. The temptation to give up, walk out, not move forward is prevalent and real in all aspects of life, even when you just want to take off your socks. Paul recognized this. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." Peter as well warns us of this fact in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We're going to need a little bit more context on that passage, and trust me, we are going to go to that here in a little bit. But before we do that, for now, we should know we should anticipate temptation. We should anticipate trial when we step out in a new beginning with Christ. We should anticipate the desires and feeling to give up, to walk out, to not follow through, to not move forward, because that is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. Therefore, I ask, what do we do when temptation comes? What do we do when we feel weak and alone? What do we do? Is there hope? Are we doomed and destined to never rise above our sin, our previous lies, rise to the hope given to us in Christ for the future? Are we just doomed to always walk away and fall short? Temptation is a reality that is ever present in the life of the Christian. Jesus, after all, was tempted as well. Not only the Gospel of Matthew shows this, but Luke and Mark as well. They all speak about Jesus' temptation. Matthew 4:1 says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Luke 4:1 says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness." Mark 1:12-13, "The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him." And there's a common theme here. There's a common theme through these Gospels, and they all record this moment of Jesus' life for a purpose, for a reason, to show us something important. Yes, Jesus is tempted and tried. Jesus overcomes. How is it Jesus gets there? How is it he gets to the wilderness? The Spirit leads him into the situation. Some may wonder, that doesn't sound right. Why would God do such a thing? And I have three short answers to explain why God does this. Not only to show us that temptation is real, but also to show us how to overcome temptation. And most importantly, when temptation comes, to show us that Jesus overcomes. When the enemy comes attacking, Jesus will always overcome. Jesus will always win. And we can have hope in our temptations, in our lives, in knowing Jesus can and will overcome. He shows us the temptation is real. Jesus shows us how to deal with temptation. More importantly, he shows us he will and can overcome temptation. What do we do then? What do we do when temptation comes? I know I've tried a lot of different things for temptation to sin. One, whenever I was in high school, we had rubber bands on our arms and we'd snap ourselves, like when we'd say a bad word. But that didn't work because that normally made me say another word that I shouldn't be saying. And then in college, I remember me and my friends, we had this accountability group in our dorm that met, and we decided to get a sin jar. And anytime we would recognizably sin in our lives, we would put a dollar in the jar. The problem with this is we were all poor college students, so we filled the jar up with IOUs, which I don't think have been paid to this day. I've tried a lot of things, silly things like these and other not so silly things, like throwing away stuff. I've thrown away stuff. I've thrown away video games. I've thrown away comic books. I've thrown away movies and music that are not of Christ that lead me into sin. You know, because being led into sin is a really easy thing. What does Jesus say about murder? We read this in our reading plan just today again. No, yesterday we read this in our reading plan about what he says about murder. If you think about murdering or hurting or poorly or negative, if you think in anger towards someone, you have murdered them. What about lust? If you think upon someone in a lustful manner, you have committed adultery. I've thrown things away that I've owned because they caused those things. I've tried a lot of things, but here's the truth. None of them were permanent solutions. Temptation still came. And in many cases, temptation won. Temptation overcome because I wasn't looking to the one who overcomes the temptation. What are we to do then when temptation comes? Because as we've established already, temptation will and does come. What are we to do? We are to learn to look to Jesus and see how it is Jesus has taught us to resist temptation when it comes. Remember what we spoke about last week as we recapped. People don't change in themselves, but Jesus can and will change people. Jesus is the answer. Paul explains this in Romans. When I started preaching today, we read a passage from Romans 7:15-20. Later on in Romans, he says this in verse 24 through 25, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we go back to 1 Corinthians 10:13, we see also that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the answer. No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Who is faithful? According to Paul here, God is faithful. And God provides the way of escape. God provides, through Jesus Christ, a way to endure. We need to be focused on Jesus. The Peter passage we read earlier that I said needs some more respect given, some more context given, explains this to us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." There is so much more when we just go a few verses early and a few verses after. 1 Peter 5:6-11 says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Are you here today thinking, "I need restored? Being confirmed would be nice. I feel weak. I need to be made strong. I don't feel established." Jesus is here for you. And you can cast those fears, those anxieties, those doubts, those buttons the devil knows to push, those things he knows to push you into sin, to push you into not changing, to push you into not living in the new beginning Christ has for you. Jesus says to cast those on him, to cast those temptations on him, to be humble. To humble ourselves to who? To humble ourselves to him. And it says, in time, the proper time, he will exalt you. It's okay to lean on God. It's okay to to tell God how you feel. It's okay to express your concerns to God, to express your fears. Peter tells us he cares for you. He cares for you. And the greatest thing is he has some pretty thick skin. He has some pretty broad shoulders. He can carry your pains, your hurts, and still all the while help you overcome your temptation. Peter says to be sober-minded, to be watchful. And in verse 9, he tells us this, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This is just a sidebar. Isn't it comforting to know it's not just you? It's not just you. We are all in this mess. I'm in this mess with you. The same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You are not alone in this battle. You're not alone in this fight for change. And Peter reminds us of this. And then he says, and after you've suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send a person. God, Jesus, will do this himself. He will do this work in your life himself. The creator of all creation will restore you, will confirm you, will strengthen you, and will establish you. Oh, praise be to Jesus Christ. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Christ will himself do this. Christ will. He is the subject, an example we are to look at for change. Change everlasting, to bring a new beginning. He is the example. There is no other that will help us overcome the temptations and trials of this world. There's no other that's going to come and help us get our socks off. There's no other God. Have you ever thought about that? There's no other God that's going to love you. There's no other God that's going to come for you. There's no other God that's going to die for you. There's no other God that's going to pay the price of your sin. Because there is no other God. The one true God has come. The one true God has won. This doesn't mean temptation isn't going to come, though. We've established this. Temptation will come. What are we to do about it? What does Jesus do about it? Verse 4, 7, and 10 of Matthew 4 shows us. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Matthew 7, Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I love that last one because it tells us that we have the authority to do something in the name of Jesus, to tell Satan to go right back to hell where he belongs. Be gone. Because when we are in Christ, we are empowered by Christ. We were empowered by his Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, we have this authority to tell the devil and his minions to be gone. I mentioned the daily audio reading plan we have been posting on our Facebook and church website. And I said I was going to ask a question today. Here is the question. Does anybody know what Jesus quotes from? Don't say the Bible. That's not a specific enough answer. Does anybody know the book of the Bible? Deuteronomy. Gold stars for Greg. He is quoting Deuteronomy. Who can just quote Deuteronomy readily and in the proper context with the proper challenge and temptation? Who has ever even read the book of Deuteronomy? I know many of you have. but many of us haven't. Deuteronomy is a book that's often overlooked in the Old Testament because it says weird things. Because we don't understand how they understood the world and how the world was at that time. We lose a lot of context. But the point is, there is a truth here that stands for ages to come, that will always stand. There is a truth here that will help us fight and resist, to be humble, at peace, to be sober-minded, to be watchful and resistant against the enemy. And this is the way of Jesus. If we want to make Jesus a subject, if we want to reclaim what hell has stolen, we must adopt the way of Jesus. And what was the way of Jesus? To be a person of the Word. Are we people of His Word? His Word provides us the strength, the necessary tools, the sword by which we fight the adversary. Have you ever been tempted? What happened when you were tempted? What can you do when you are tempted? These are all things we've addressed today. Temptation is going to happen if you truly attempt to step out in a new beginning with Christ. Therefore, you should expect it. You should be prepared for it, both individually and us corporately as a church, because God isn't just calling us into a new beginning as individuals in Him. He's calling us as His church into a new beginning. Will we rise to the challenge or give up when the temptation comes? When temptation comes, because it's going to come, the deciding factor on whether we will overcome is based solely on who our attention is on. Is it on ourselves or is it on Jesus? Being humble, at peace, sober-minded, watchful, resistant against the enemy, and most importantly, being people of His Word. We have to be people of the Word if we ever hope to be people who live in the way of Jesus. And I know I keep saying this over and over again, but it's so quintessential to our walk together as a family of families. If you haven't started the reading plan, it's not too late to jump in. It wouldn't take long to listen to all the audio ones too, or just listen to the audio on your own Bible app. It's not too late to be people of the Word with us together as one, to go through the Word of God together as one, to pray together through those prayer points as one. It's not too late. We have to be people of the Word. Maybe you're here today and you're facing temptation presently, or you're going to step out of this place and you know the enemy's going to attack. And you know this. You know temptation is coming. As I invite our worship team and our prayer team forward, I ask that we would humble ourselves before Christ, that we would respond today by seeking Christ, and we would respond today by seeking the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Our worship team will also be up here to the left and to the right. If you're experiencing that temptation, or if you're experiencing that same old sin coming back and just striking you again, our prayer team's here to pray with you and for you. They're not just here to pray for physical healing, but also spiritual healing. And so if you're here today and you have that, don't miss the opportunity to receive prayer. And it doesn't have to be a prayer team member to pray for you. It can be your neighbor in your chair that you're sitting in. Let us respond to the word of the Lord appropriately. For it is by His hand, it is by His decree that we have been saved. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen.